Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, May 25th, 2022, 1 Corinthians.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. We are learning about our enemy. You have to know your enemy. And you have an enemy. God has an enemy. He knows all about him. Most believers haven't got a clue. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. We thank you for the privilege of fellowshipping with you in your word this evening. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11 says, "For the purpose that we should not be outwitted and robbed by Satan, robbed of our spiritual life, winding up casualties in his cosmos diabolicus, his cosmic system, for we know his strategies quite well." Well, some of those believers, they've been taught again and again and again by the Apostle Paul. Some of them do know it quite well. Many do not. Most believers today have no clue as to what Satan's strategies are. Dallas Theological Seminary was founded by Lewis Sperry Chafer and W.H. Griffith Thomas. Lewis Sperry Chafer was one of the greatest men of grace ever in America. He totally understood the grace of God, the grace plan of God, the grace policy of God. He started Dallas Seminary because he wanted men who had the gift of pastor-teacher to be trained in the languages. That's why he founded it. He didn't have the ability in the languages, in the Greek or the Hebrew or the Aramaic. And he felt handicapped. And he wanted a seminary, a graduate school started, so that he could train men with the gift of pastor-teacher in the original languages, so that they could study the Word of God in the original autographs and teach with absolute confidence. So he started a graduate school, Dallas Seminary. He was the head of it. And one of the greatest men of grace of all time. And while he was the president of Dallas Theological Seminary, the school was never accredited. It was never accredited. The reason why? Because he gave everybody A's. Everybody got A's. He taught systematic theology. In fact, here is volume 2, and his systematic theology was in 11 volumes. He taught systematic theology, gave a comprehensive exam. It was so difficult that most of the students failed. He gave them all A's. And they would come up to him and they say, "Dr. Chafer, I should have gotten an F." He goes, "I know. I know you should, but you didn't earn or deserve an A. But it's more important for you to learn grace. And if you graduate from here as a communicator of the Word of God, it's more important that you understand grace than whether you get an A or an F or a B or whatever." But because he gave everybody A's, they would not accredit Dallas Theological Seminary. Now, after he was no longer the president, others came in and they changed that. In volume 2 of his systematic theology, when God declares, as he does, that the cosmos diabolicus, the cosmic system, is to continue with increasing deception and to continue to the embodiment of the lie until it is crushed by the infinite power of the returning King, there is little ground for any attempts to save it or to transform it. Indeed, Christians are exhorted to be instant, in season and out of season, in the saving of individuals, the presentation of the grace gospel. But that is far removed as an objective from the attempted rescue of that which God has doomed to destruction, and that which by its very nature is anti-God. The cosmic system is anti-God. Next to the lie itself, the greatest delusion Satan imposes, reaching to all unsaved and to a large proportion of Christians today, is the supposition that only such things as society considers evil could originate with the devil, if indeed there be any devil to originate anything. It is not the reason of man, but the revelation of God, which points out that governments, morality, education, art, commercialism, vast enterprises and organizations, and much of religious activity, they are all included in cosmos diabolicus, Satan's cosmic system. That is, the system which Satan has constructed includes all the good which he can incorporate into it and be consistent in the thing he aims to accomplish. A serious question arises whether the presence of gross evil in the world is due to Satan's intention to have it so, or whether it indicates Satan's inability to execute all he has designed. The probability is great that Satan's ambition has led him to undertake more than any creature could ever administer. Revelation declares that the whole cosmic system must be annihilated. Not just its evil, but all that is in it. Good and evil. All the good. Morality. Satan just pushes morality. Just be moral, you get to heaven. Be moral, be good, be nice. Nice is a four-letter word. So is good. Satan uses it. If you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you dying, you will die. Well, I'll be damned. Adam ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and he died spiritually, and then died physically. God will incorporate nothing of Satan's failure into that kingdom which he will set up in the earth, the millennial kingdom. The cosmos diabolicus must be broken in pieces and become like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, which the wind carries away. And all this before the smiting stone, Jesus Christ, and his return to the earth will set up a kingdom which will fill the whole earth. Daniel 2, 34 and 35 and 44 and 45. The New Testament predicts the same consummation, saying, and the world, the cosmos, passes away, and the lust thereof, 1 John 2:17. The one and only thing that will survive this great cataclysm, this text goes on to state, is he that doeth the will of God. He abideth forever. Satan's twofold objective is, one, to exalt self. There's cosmic one, interlocking systems of arrogance. And to oppose God. There's cosmic two, interlocking systems of hatred. See, Lewis Berry Chafer was teaching that at way, 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 way back. Before I was born. It is still further disclosed that Satan uses false teachers who are usually very sincere and full of humanitarian zeal, but they are unregenerate. Being unregenerate, that is, they're unbelievers, it is said of them, but the natural man, the unbeliever, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned, 1 Corinthians 2:14. Such religious leaders of human knowledge, such religious leaders may be highly educated and able to speak with authority on every aspect of human knowledge, but if they are not born again, their judgment in spiritual matters is worthless and misleading. All teachers are to be judged by their attitude toward the doctrine of the blood redemption of Christ, rather than by their winsome personalities, their education, or their sincerity. Since the blood redemption of the cross is the central truth and value of the true faith, it being the power of God unto salvation, Romans 1:16, 1 Corinthians 1:23 and 24, any counterfeit system of doctrine which would omit this essential must force some secondary truth into its place. Any of the great spiritual subjects which are of universal interest to humanity, such as physical health, life after death, morality, religion, may be substituted in the false systems for that which is vital. And while those subjects are all found in their proper relations and importance in the true faith, the fact that people are universally inclined to give attention to them furnishes an opportunity for Satan to make a strong appeal to humanity through them using these subjects as central truths in his false and counterfeit systems. Many are easily led to fix their attention upon the secondary things and to neglect wholly the only primary thing. Especially is this true since the secondary things are tangible and seen, but the one essential thing is spiritual and unseen: salvation through faith in Christ, totally apart from works. Satan loves to throw in works, and immediately you have a false gospel. This cosmic system will be readily accepted by blinded humanity, though the real power of God unto salvation has been carefully withdrawn. Naturally, it would be supposed that such Satan-inspired systems would have no value or power, since there could be no divine favor upon them. Such a supposition would be possible only because of the prevailing misunderstanding with respect to the real power of Satan. If the description given of him in the scriptures is accepted, he will be seen to be possessed with miraculous power, able to perform such marvels that the whole world is led to wonder and then to worship. He is free also to bestow this miraculous power upon others, Revelation 13:2. So it is no marvel if his ministers, who appear as the ministers of righteousness, are able to exert superhuman power when it is directly in the interest of the satanic projects. The great power of Satan has doubtless been active along these lines during all the ages past, for it is impossible that humanity should have worshipped other gods blindly without some reward. And it is Satan himself who has thus been worshipped. Churches many times fall an easy prey to forms of doctrine, deceivableness of unrighteousness, which Satan originates. Sad is the spectacle of churches meeting week after week to be beguiled by the philosophy of men and raising no voice in protest against the denial of their only foundation as a church, the individual's only hope for time and eternity. Far more honorable were the infidels of the past generation than those who minister in churches today. They, at least, were outside the church. But now, behold the inconsistency. Men who are covered by the vesture of the church, ministering its sacraments, supported by its benevolence, are making an open attack upon the wisdom of God, which made Christ Jesus the only ground for all righteousness, all sanctification, all redemption. The predictions for the last days are thus not only being fulfilled by false systems and false doctrine, but they are found in the visible church itself. for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. 2 Timothy 4:3 and 4. Great religious activities are possible without coming into a saving faith with Jesus Christ. It is possible to fight against sin and not present the Savior, Jesus Christ, or to urge the highest scriptural ideals and yet offer no reasonable way of attainment. There is a strange fascination about these undertakings, which are humanitarian and are religious only in form and title. And there is a strange attractiveness in the leader who announces that he is not concerned with the doctrines of the Bible, because the helping of humanity is his one and only passion. Yet all his passion is lost, and his care is to no real end, unless coupled with a very positive message of the only way of salvation, the true understanding of which demands a series of most careful distinctions. Who can be the God of these systems? Who is the energizing power in these people? Who listens to their prayers? Surely not the God of the Bible. The God of the Scriptures cannot deny himself, and his word will never pass away. Revelation sets forth but one other being who is capable of these undertakings. And it not only assigns to this being a great and sufficient motive for all such activity, but clearly predicts that he will oppose and exalt himself in this very day and age. However, if there is a choice to be made, the deepest wisdom will perceive that all the combined secondary values which Satan can offer are but for a fleeting time and are not worthy to be compared with the eternal riches of grace in Christ Jesus. The idea that man will stand on a basis of personal worthiness, on his own self-righteousness and works, has been the chief heresy opposing the central doctrine of the Scriptures, grace, from the time of Christ's death to the present hour. It so permeates the church that few who preach are able to exclude it from their attempts at gospel preaching. It's almost impossible to hear the true grace gospel today. It's almost impossible. And I'm talking about so-called doctrinal pastors. And I've had them. Some of them have been in here. And they'll never be in here again, ever. And I was so damn mad one time, they left me something to watch. I watched it and practically threw up. I said, that's it. That's over. And then that actually got me to the point to, I never was going to write anything. Hell, we don't have to reinvent the wheel. The colonel's already done that. I had all that, but that obviously it became apparent to me that even these so-called doctrinal types cannot communicate a grace gospel, the true gospel. So I said I'd never write anything. Well, I wrote a, if to make it, it will take you at least 1 minute to read it, maybe two. But it's a grace gospel. And that little purple book and grace gospel has gone all over the world. All over America. All over Las Vegas. All over Indian Springs. But it does communicate the grace gospel. It so permeates the church that few who preach are able to exclude it from their attempts at gospel preaching. It is safe to say that wherever the element of human works is allowed to intrude into the presentation of the plan of salvation, that message is satanic. Believe in Jesus Christ and be baptized. Believe in Jesus Christ and keep the sacraments of the Roman Catholic Church. They all believe in Christ. Catholics all believe in Christ. And then they believe in the sacraments, their works. And there will be some Catholics in heaven. Because of faith alone and Christ alone, there will be lots of Catholics in hell. And when I was at my cardiologist, just checking up to make sure I can still yell at you. And I don't care if I die in the pulpit, I don't care. BFD. I'm in heaven and you're stuck here with Biden as president. And I know Doc, his father was had a Catholic background, and his son, Dr. Ruggieroli Jr., he has a Catholic background. The whole family does. But I also know his father. I gave him the little purple book. He read that. I gave him several of the colonel's books, and he took them with him, dealing with salvation when he go on fishing trips up. He loved to fish. He loved to fish for salmon. And so he took these. I said, take these booklets with you, Doc, and read them. And within, I got a phone call from Ronnie and Karen Espinoza. They said they just saw him, and they said, Dr. Ruggieroli is going to, he's going to die here in the next few hours. Pastor, you got to get over and see him right away. So I did. I just dropped everything and went over right away. Walked in. He was in a room and nobody was in it. God just prepared it. Nobody was in there. And I said, Doc, I can't thank you enough. For all that you have done for me personally, I can't repay you for any of that. But I can tell you how you can know absolutely for sure you will be in heaven, because you're going to be either in heaven or hell in the next few hours. And I said, I know you got a Catholic background, but God doesn't give a damn about Catholicism. He doesn't give a damn over the fact that you're a Catholic. And that will not get you into heaven. Catholicism has, yeah, they all talk about Christ and faith in Christ, but then works, they add works to that. Keep the sacraments. I said, if you believe that, you won't be in heaven. The only issue, Doc, is Jesus Christ went to the cross and paid the penalty for all your sins. And the only issue, not whether you're Catholic, not whether you do works, but simply faith in Jesus Christ. Faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. If you believe that, sir, I'll see you in heaven. And he grabbed my hand and he clenched it as hard as he could clench it. I said, Doc, I take that as the fact that I'll see you in heaven. So, I'll see you there. And I walked out. And as I was walking back to the car, I was telling this to Dr. Ruggieroli, Jr. And he says, you know, I saw you leaving as I was coming in to see my dad. I said, well, Doc, I'll say the same thing to you. I know you have a Catholic background too, but God doesn't give a damn about Roman Catholicism. And you're not going to heaven because you're Catholic. And they all believe in Christ. Hell, look at the Mormon. They call it what? The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. They come to my door, I tell them I belong to the Church of Jesus Christ of Modern-day Saints. They believe in Jesus Christ and they're going to hell. There's a lot of fundies that are the same way. Satan has blinded them. He's blinded them. And he just is laughing because he'll throw in the name of Jesus Christ, but he puts in works. It's safe to say that wherever the element of human works is allowed to intrude into the presentation of the plan of salvation, that message is satanic. The ministers of Satan proclaim personal righteousness as the ground of the individuals having a right relation to God. Dr. Chafer, by the way, you can't get these anymore. It's 11-volume Systematic Theology by Lewis Berry Chafer. They condensed that 11 volumes into two. That's sad right there. I don't have those two. I have the 11. Great, great man of grace who started a seminary to prepare men for the ministry by teaching them languages which he didn't even have. And he felt handicapped because he didn't have them. And he wanted to prepare men so they wouldn't be handicapped in that regard, so that they could communicate grace and truth from the God-breathed scriptures, the original autograph, not some translation. For the purpose that we should not be outwitted and robbed by Satan, robbed of our spiritual life, becoming casualties in his cosmic system, for we know his strategies quite well. Well, Satan has many strategies, and we've been studying that. Many strategies to keep the believer in the cosmic system. Mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue toward fellow believers is keeping many believers in Corinth entrapped in the cosmic system. You see, they can't forgive and forget. They can't forgive and forget the failures of the incestuous believer who has recovered from his reversionism and degeneracy. No grace orientation, no virtue love brought to completion in their hearts keep them entrapped in the cosmic system. No impersonal love for all means no forgiveness. No forgiveness means continued mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue. Entrapment in the cosmic system. Satan is his name, transliterated from the Greek word Satan, which means adversary or enemy. He's the enemy of God. He's the enemy of the royal family of God. Satanic strategy is first of all made up of deception and lies. Satan is the greatest deceiver of history. And to be such a deceiver, the devil must be the greatest and most effective liar in history. And he is, John 8:44. The MO of the believer living in the cosmic system is deception and lies. They worship and serve the creature, Satan, rather than the Creator, the Lord Jesus Christ. When Satan is the mentor of the believer in the cosmic system, that believer's MO is to lie and deceive, just like his mentor. Satan works through human beings who are liars. Believers are deceived as easily as unbelievers by this satanic strategy. Satanic strategy has certain principles of activity and power. Satan can use none of this power apart from the sovereign will of God. But God does permit Satan to test winner believers like Job. Job 1:6-12, Job 2:1-10, and the Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians 12:7. But God also permits Satan to punish loser believers, such as the incestuous Corinthian, 1 Corinthians 5:5. God is never unfair. He is absolute righteousness and perfect justice. When believers are making bad decisions to live their life in Satan's cosmic system, God permits certain evil forces to attack us as a means of punishment. However, through rebound and making good decisions to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, we will advance to spiritual maturity and experience the most fantastic blessing. But God must have all your attention at all times. If we do not give God our attention, then God will take steps to get our attention. God's grace includes divine discipline to bring us back in line and to teach us lessons the hard way. If you won't learn the easy way, coming in assembling with positive volition and humility and believing the grace and truth of the Word of God, then you'll have to learn the hard way. And that's divine discipline. Hebrews 12:5-11. And that's God's grace. God never changes whether He is blessing us or whether He is disciplining us. He always loves us with infinite virtue love. Where believers are concerned, it is impossible for God to do anything apart from grace, which means apart from infinite virtue love, absolute righteousness and perfect justice. The punishment is designed under the virtue love of God, Hebrews 12:6. And God often uses wicked people, or even Satan himself, as a means of bringing us around. And that's how the incestuous Corinthian came to his senses. Satan has a strategy to control the nations. His strategy is based on conspiracy and deception and lies. Revelation 12:9, Revelation 20:3, Revelation 20:7-8, Ephesians 6:10-12. Satan manipulates nations. He is the author of every world peace movement and every communist conspiracy and socialist strategy. Jeremiah 6:14, Jeremiah 8:11, Ezekiel 13:10. He is the chief opponent of the laws of divine establishment and seeks to break down freedom and sovereignty of any nation where establishment, evangelism, and Bible Christianity is functioning. Internationalism is satanic in any form. World globalism, one world government, religious internationalism, ecumenical religion, political internationalism, the United Nations. Satan's policy is power politics, violence, tyranny, and change. He attacks both law enforcement and the military. He is anti-law enforcement, anti-military, pro-welfare state, pro-socialism, and against free enterprise. He attacks marriage and the family. He promotes same-sex marriage, homosexuality, lesbianism. He attacks all the divine institutions. Religion is a part of Satan's strategy. Religion is the creation of Satan's genius to counterfeit the plan of God. Isaiah 14:14, I will make myself like the Most High God. The greatest counterfeiter of all time is Satan. God has his plan of grace and truth. Satan counterfeits that. Religion is the antithesis of grace and truth. Religion is man seeking to use his own works to gain the approbation of God. Satan's counterfeit of the plan of God in religion includes counterfeit gospel, 2 Corinthians 4:3 and 4, counterfeit ministers, 2 Corinthians 11, verses 13 to 15, counterfeit doctrine, 1 Timothy 4:1, counterfeit communion table, 1 Corinthians 10:19 to 21. Counterfeit spirituality, Galatians 3, 2 and 3. Counterfeit righteousness, which is self-righteousness, human righteousness, Matthew 19, 16 to 28, Matthew 23, 13 to 36. Counterfeit power and dynamics and signs and wonders, 2 Thessalonians 2, 8 through 10. Counterfeit system of gods, 2 Thessalonians 2, 3 and 4. That brings us to point 5. False teachers are a part of a very important part in Satan's strategy. False teachers. They're in a lot of pulpits in the United States of America today. 1 John 4, 1-3, 2 Peter, the entire chapter, 2 Peter chapter 2, Jude, verses 5-16, there's only one chapter. Verses 5-16, most of Jude deals with false teachers. False teachers are a part of Satan's strategy. Now, what are they like? Well, one, they have a phony, hypocritical facade. A phony, hypocritical facade. They are wolves in sheep's clothing. Matthew 7, verse 15. Beware of the false teachers, the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. So they have a phony, hypocritical facade. They are wolves in sheep clothing. Matthew 7:15. Two, they seek to stimulate your ego. They are characterized by flattery. They will flatter you, tell you how great you are. Smooth talk and flattery. Turn over to Jude, and it's not Hey Jude, it's just Jude. They seek to stimulate your ego. They are characterized by smooth talk and flattery. the Jude is only one chapter, 25 verses, and most of it deals with false teachers. From verse 5 through verse 16, it's all dealing with false teachers. Verse 16, these men, these false teachers are grumblers and fault finders. They follow their own evil lusts, their own evil desires. They boast about themselves. And they flatter others. Flattery. They flatter others for their own advantage. They seek to stimulate your ego. They use flattery and smooth talk. Turn over to Romans 16. Romans 16. Romans 16, verses 17 and 18. We'll be getting to this next Sunday. Just seeing if you had a sense of humor. Romans 16, verses 17 and 18. I urge you, brethren, be on red alert. That's what watch out means. Be on red alert for those false teachers who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them. Separate from these false teachers, for such people are not serving our Lord Christ. They aren't serving Jesus Christ, but their own, you might have appetites, it's emotions. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people. Three, they use human public relations systems and legalistic flirtation to court believers. They use human public relations systems and legalistic flirtation to court believers. Turn over to Galatians 4. Galatians 4, 17 and 18. And you see that the whole letter to the Galatians is dealing with legalism and false teachers. And Galatians 4, verse 17, those people, those false teachers, are zealous to win you over, but for no good. What they want is to alienate you from us, from those communicators like Paul and Timothy and Titus who communicate grace and truth. They want to alienate you from us so that you may be zealous for them. Now, it's fine to be zealous, provided the purpose is, and the word should not be translated good. It's good is agathos. This isn't agathos. This is kalos. Kalos means based on virtue and honor and integrity. Not, this isn't the word for good. Provided the purpose is kalos, based on virtue, honor, and integrity. But false teachers, their purpose is not based on virtue, honor, integrity. And to be so always, and not just when I am with you. They appeal to human ego and arrogance and pride to distract believers from grace. Grace, grace. They use mutual admiration society ideas. They love to counsel others to promote their own arrogance. Four, they promote idolatry. They promote idolatry. Habakkuk. I didn't ask if you had a backache. Habakkuk. I've been watching you come into the class, and I tell you, some of you are worse than I am. Habakkuk 2, 18 and 19. Of what value is an idol, since a man has carved it, or an image that teaches lies? For he who makes it trusts in his own creation. He makes idols that cannot speak. Woe to him who says to wood, come to life, or to lifeless stone, wake up. Can it give guidance? It is covered with gold and silver. There's no breath in it. But the Lord, the living and true God, is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. 5. They are ignorant of the truth. They don't know what they're talking about. They communicate lies. They are Satan's false teachers. 1 Timothy 1:6-7. Some have wandered away from thee. What are they wandering away from? We'll go back to verse 5. The goal of this command is virtue love. They've wandered away from the truth of virtue love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and unhypocritical faith. Some have wandered away from these truths and turned to meaningless talk, false teachers. They want to be teachers of the law, but they do not know what they're talking about or what they so confidently affirm. Point 6, Satan has a specific strategy to trap believers in his cosmic system. He has a specific strategy to trap believers in his cosmic system. 2 Timothy 2, 25 and 26. In this passage, this paragraph, the Apostle Paul is speaking of the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher. You see, Timothy is a pastor-teacher. He has the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher. Timothy and Titus, they're not apostles, they're pastors. And in verse 25, Paul writes, those who oppose him, the pastor, he, the pastor, must brace them with a grace mental attitude in the hope that God will grant them repentance, a change of mental attitude, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil, who has taken them captive to do his will. You're not doing God's will, you're doing Satan's will. All reversionists have been deceived by Satan, and they have become the devil's disciples. Evil men who go from bad to worse. Look at 2 Timothy 3, verse 13. While evil men, false teachers, and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Point 7, Satan has a strategy regarding Israel. He has a strategy regarding Israel, anti-Semitism. The divine attitude toward anti-Semitism is given in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. I will bless those who bless Israel. I will curse those who curse Israel. Anti-Semitism is hatred, intolerance, prejudice, opposition, persecution, violent opposition to the Jewish race. Turn over to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. Revelation 12, 13 to 17 details the future of anti-Semitism in the dispensation of the tribulation, the 70th week of Daniel. Revelation 12, verse 13, when the dragon saw that he had been hurled to the earth, he pursued the woman. The woman is Israel, who had given birth to the male child. The male child is the Lord Jesus Christ. The woman Israel was given the two wings of a great eagle, so that she might fly to the place prepared for her in the desert. Las Vegas. No, I'm just kidding. Prepared for her in the desert, where she would be taken care of for a time, times, and half a time. That's the 3.5 years of the great tribulation. Out of the serpent's mouth, out of the serpent's reach. Then from his mouth the serpent spewed water like a river to overtake the woman, Israel, and sweep her away with the torrent. You see, in the tribulation, Satan's objective is to wipe every Jew from the face of the earth. Destroy every Jew from the face of the earth. If he does, he wins the angelic conflict. And he will do everything possible in the 7-year tribulation period to accomplish that. And then he wins the angelic conflict. Of course, we know he won't win. And he won't destroy every Jew from the face of the earth. But the earth helped the woman by opening its mouth and swallowing the river that the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. And then the dragon was enraged at the woman, Israel, and went off to make war against the rest of her offspring, those who obey God's commandments and hold to the testimony of Jesus. So Satan's prophetic objective is to destroy Israel so that the 4 unconditional covenants that God made with them cannot be fulfilled at the second advent. The Abrahamic, Palestinian, Davidic, and New Covenants. And if there's no Israel, Satan wins the angelic conflict. There's a correlation between the rise and fall of nations and their attitude toward the Jew. Individuals, nations, and empires have been destroyed by anti-Semitism. And individuals, nations, and empires have been blessed by kindly treatment of the Jews. All right. This is still just some of the strategies. There are more strategies. If you make it back next week, we'll study some more of Satan's strategies. Father, we thank you for your grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.